As the 2012 budget battle heats up, federal programs affecting every aspect of daily life are on the chopping block, including those that get food from the farm to the table. A coalition of farmers, food, and environmental advocates are lobbying Congress to protect and improve the 2008 Food Conservation and Energy Act, or Farm Bill. The legislation funds and regulates many aspects of U.S. agriculture. Roughly two-thirds of Farm Bill funding is dedicated to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, better known as food stamps. Roughly one-third goes to direct payments to farmers. That leaves a sliver of Farm Bill funding for an array of innovative programs that support sustainable agriculture and bring fresh food to urban areas. The highly politicized budget battle is expected to turn the next authorization of the Farm Bill into a tough fight. The most vulnerable to cuts are small pots of money that make a big impact on community organizations around the country, including right here in Los Angeles. Joining me in studio are Renee Maas, a senior organizer with Food and Water Watch, and Tony Bautista, a sustainability director with the organization La Causa. Welcome to Uprising, Renee and Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for joining us. Renee, before we go into the funding for programs that is being threatened, just looking at the Farm Bill funding briefly for our listeners, can you explain the one-third chunk of the Farm Bill that consists of direct payments to farmers? Are we talking about primarily subsidies to big agribusinesses, or are we talking about payments to small farmers?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to tell people that Food and Water Watch, we're a national consumer organization, and we're working to take back our food system, fix our broken food system. We live in a country in which consumers can't access safe, healthy, affordable food. Farmers can't make a living farming, and much of our food is produced in a way that harms our air, water, and earth. So we have a lot of community we're working with community organizations all around the country that are trying to take back our food system and make sure that everyone has access to good, healthy food. The subsidy program that you're talking about, which is part of the Farm Bill program, has gotten a lot of attention in the past couple decades. Mm-hmm. There's this idea, there's this misconception that if we just simply take away commodity crop subsidies, so commodity crops are things like corn and soybeans, these are not vegetables or fruits, then we can just fix our food system. But that's actually, we actually think that that's not the entire picture. What's happening is that farmers are independent agents. So we need farmers because they help us produce food. But they're independent actors. And so every single year, they don't just get together and decide that how much food they're going to grow for the nation. They have to try to decide how much food they're going to grow so that they can make a decent living. But if something was to happen, like a drought or flood, and they were to lose part of their crop, they would have enough food they'd have enough product to still make money. So what happens, though, is through deregulation is that there's been no controls on this system. And when there's a good year, when all the farmers that grow commodity crops, when their crops are all vibrant, then we have this overabundance of corn and soybean on the market. And when we get this overabundance of corn and soybean on the market, the prices plummet. They get really low. And so these family farmers are getting less money for their crops than it took them to grow. And as a result, the people that really benefit from this are factory farm operators, meat packers, food processors, and grain traders like Cargill and Archer Daniels Midland. And so what we think should be happening is that we should set up that the government should put regulation back into the food system and should create a grain reserve. So that means when there's an abundance of grain, the government would take some off the market so that keep prices still mm-hmm. stable. And then if there's a poor year, then the government could release some of that grain onto the market. And that would make it so that farmers could get a decent price and that there'd be food security for everyone in the U.S.
Well, let's talk about that tiny sliver of money that makes a big impact that was hard won brought into the 2008 bill. First of all, what exactly are these programs that we're talking about here? What was the effort that even got them to be put in place in the first place? And do these mostly involve access to food for urban communities?
The Farm Bill is a federal piece of legislation that's reauthorized every 5 years. And so the Farm Bill happens whether or not advocates work on it. But we have a really strong coalition of advocates that have been working on this for years. And the 2008 Farm Bill, we got a lot of really great programs. So some of the money that goes to really innovative programs helps support urban gardens. They establish food policy councils. They support beginning and minority farmers. Over 300 beginning and minority farmers in the state of California were able to purchase land and equipment to help them get off the ground. They help get farmers, they help get EBT machines and farmers markets so people that are on food stamps can get access to vegetables. They help put salad bars into school cafeterias and other programs. Like one program that here in Los Angeles is by Community Services Unlimited. They're getting fresh fruits and vegetables to over 6,000 families in South LA that previously didn't have access. And they're doing that with their farm here in South Los Angeles. And they got that funding through the Farm Bill.
Well, let me bring Tony Bautista into the conversation. You're the sustainability director at La Causa. Tell us about La Causa. And is it one of these programs that did get funding through 2008? And you're now seeing that funding potentially disappear because of this budget battle looming?
Right. So La Causa is it's a nonprofit. We're a construction training program, and we're also a charter school. And within that charter school, we have the program that our students participate in, which is called Paloma, which is People's Affordable Local Organic Market Alteration. And we alter these small market corner stores into making them more into a healthy hub of healthy food instead of what junk food hubs that they are right now. So we go into the store and we completely alter the way it looks. We change the layout so junk food isn't easily accessible to the junk children. We target markets that are right next to elementary schools. So we're able to have that impact in that community. And what makes this program really unique is that our students are a part of this program. So they help with the design of the store. They help with deciding what stuff is located into the store. Introducing healthy food into the neighborhood, canvassing the neighborhood and making them know that healthy food is available at this market, which wasn't available before. So it's a really unique program and which has benefited from the Farm Bill.
And I understand that La Causa gets only $25,000 from the Farm Bill, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things is pocket change for the government, but has a big impact here in the community.
Right. With that $25,000, we're able to transform one store. And we're hoping that once we have this one store, we could start creating a network of stores where they're able to buy more food in bulk. So, yes, this is pocket change, but it has a huge impact in our community.
And Sonali, I would just like to add that these cuts are not really about saving money. These cuts are about weakening the effectiveness of government programs to the point where they perform so badly, it's easier to make the case for just getting rid of these programs.
So it's an ideological battle in the end against any kind of a social safety net for citizens.
Yeah, against a social safety net. But also, we think that there's this movement to deregulate the food system so that the couple of companies that currently control our food system will continue to control it. And, you know, there's this movement to take away local ownership of our food and our food systems.
So it reminds me of the budget battle that also involved the fight over cutting funding for Planned Parenthood, for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Some of these, in general, not very large pools of money that are more about ideology than about the budget or the government deficit. Who is exactly making the case that or trying to make the case that cutting these important programs is going to save the government money? Are they making that argument?
Yes, there's this argument. There are certain politicians in Washington that are making this case, but I just want to be clear, this is definitely not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is an issue about family farmers, which are sometimes concentrated in areas that we think of more socially conservative, but there's really progressive people doing CSAs who are represented by really progressive representatives.
But who's doing the attacking in Congress? Is it Democrats? Is it Republicans? Is it both parties?
It's both parties. It really depends on the individual congressional member, but we've created a coalition here in California and working with other coalitions of restaurateurs, of community gardens, different organizations, and we're calling upon Senator Boxer and Feinstein to stand up and to not allow these cuts to happen. And so we're going to meeting with them tomorrow. We're having press conferences throughout the state tomorrow, and we're bringing together even local government agencies who are part of these coalitions to tell them to stand up for us.
Now, there are agriculture industry groups like the American Farmland Trust that are putting out the message specifically that the national debt is too big, that the farm bill can withstand cuts, and they're saying that a farm bill that has been trimmed of certain programs will force agriculture to become more market-oriented. I mean, what does this mean? Market-oriented when we're talking about food?
Well, market-oriented policies, so the consolidation of agribusiness, corporate mergers, and the deregulation of our food system, these things have happened over the past 30 years, and it's gotten us in the exact position in which we are now, in which we're seeing big agribusinesses, factory farms, meat packers, and food processors control our food system. And we're trying to take that control back by supporting programs that support local and regional infrastructure food programs, that support local producers, distributors, processors, and get food to healthy communities.
Tony, tell us about the kind of impact that the money that you get from the Farm Bill has in your community, and what it would mean if that funding was cut. I mean, this is not a program that's been around for very long. The Farm Bill has had some of these programs since just 2008, but they've already taken root to some extent in communities like the one you work in.
Right. So the program has been in effect for a year now. And I want to get back to the impact it just has on our students. Our students today aren't really familiar with our food system. They have no idea how their food gets to their plate. So one of the important things that we do is that we teach our students about food. We teach them about mm-hmm. the food system. We teach them how far their food has to travel, where it comes from. Why is it that we have nectarines in winter? Because they come from Chile, and how far it travels all the way from over there to get to our plates, and why that's important. And why is it that one of the things that we did was I took my students to Whole Foods, and they regard Whole Foods as the holy grail of food now. They absolutely love Whole Foods because that food isn't available in their neighborhood, and we address that question. Why is it that organic food isn't in our neighborhood? And we're in East LA. So it was a big question for them, and it's something that we're trying to address with this program. We're trying to bring more organic produce into this small market. We're trying to introduce healthier food. And we live in a community that is really affected with diabetes. So by introducing healthier food mm-hmm. to our community, we're also addressing health issues. And also just the fact that when you go into a market in East LA and the first thing you see are Cheetos, ice cream, soda, and then it's followed up with beer. I think it has a big impact in our community, and we're trying to change that layout where the first thing that they come into a store, they see healthy produce. So it changes the ideology of our neighborhood as well, and it starts affecting our health and then the way we view food.
Finally, Renee, you were mentioning that there are going to be a number of press conferences this week to try to bring attention to these proposed cuts. But you're also calling on our senators here in California and on President Obama to enact a proposed rule published by the Grain Inspection Packers and Stockyards Administration, or GIPSA, on June 22nd of last year. Tell us about this particular rule.
GIPSA we're calling it the Fair Farm Rule. And so basically it was a rule it was a law that was created back in 1921. And it basically made it that it broke up the big monopolies we saw in the meatpacking industry. The problem is that rule has never fully been implemented. And today, just four companies purchase 85% of all the beef in this country. That means they really get to decide how our beef is grown, where it's grown, and the prices that ranchers get for that beef. And we see this in other aspects of livestock as well. So even though this GIPSA rule, we finally, through lots of organizing, we finally said, implement GIPSA. And the government said, yes, we're going to implement it. But here we are a couple years later, and they still have not implemented it. And it would basically make it that big meat packers could no longer discriminate on their contracts and the prices that they give ranchers, which would give them the opportunity to make a fair living and then allow us to get a product in the store that's full of a lot less chemicals and a lot less hormones, healthier for us.
Well, I want to thank the two of you very much for joining us today, Renee Maas and Tony Bautista.
Thank you, Sonali.